Good morning once again. Thank you, Derek, for that long reading this morning. Let me ask you, see if you were alert this morning, how many parables are in Luke chapter 15? How many? Several. I don't know. There are three. And it's fair to say that even though there are three parables told by Jesus back to back to back in Luke chapter 15, most sermons are based on the last parable, often called the parable of the prodigal son. Pictured here, I don't know how well you can see it. Pictured here is the famous painting by Rembrandt, the famous Dutch painter, which was painted in the 17th century, depicting the return of the prodigal son to his father. It is one of the most treasured pieces of art in the world. I am by no means an expert in Rembrandt's work, but I don't believe he painted the two other parables. Parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. And of course, after the service, someone will remind me that he did, probably. The point I'm trying to make here is that despite the fact that Luke tells three parables together, and yet most of us, when we read or preach or hear sermons about these parables, we listen to one of them, which is the parable of the prodigal son. It is the most famous, and it is probably the parable that has been most preached on out of all the three. But the really important thing for us to recognize this morning is that those three parables actually communicate a single important message to a very important situation that Jesus was confronted in. The three parables together addresses the question the religious readers had of Jesus' ministry. They wondered why Jesus not only spent so much time with sinners, talking to them and healing them, but they wondered why he would eat with them. Okay. Now, eating with someone in biblical times and culture was an ultimate expression of inclusion and acceptance. You simply do not share tables with anyone. You share tables with those who are equal or of higher honor than you, but never lower. Okay? So table fellowship, eating together, was an ultimate expression of love and acceptance and inclusion. And the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the time watched Jesus practice this inclusion at the table frequently, and they muttered about this behavior. They wondered why he would override the well-established boundaries, moral purity and ceremonial laws, which had been established by Moses and for centuries subsequent to Moses' laws, these boundaries which has been established to keep clear limits as to who is to associate with one another. And yet Jesus consistently override these boundaries and dined and communed with people that are of ill repute. So the question that Jesus was answering in the three parables was the question that the religious leaders had in their hearts. Why would Jesus eat with sinners? And it was this muttering, this complaint, and this confusion that Jesus gives the three parables and gives an answer to them. Now, the first two parables, let me show you how these three parables link together, because it is absolutely brilliant if you unpack it a little bit. Okay, the first two parables, okay, shows a very important truth about what God is doing in Jesus and in Jesus' ministry and why Jesus is eating with sinners. The first two parables shows the idea that God, exemplified in the parables as a shepherd and a woman. Can you imagine that? God being compared to a woman in the biblical times, right? It's not shocking to us any longer, but in Jesus' time, this parable must have hit the people like a sledgehammer on their heads. Okay, so these two parables, shepherd and a woman, okay, was showing something fundamental about who God is and what God was doing. And what God was doing in this parable is that he is pursuing the lost sheep and the lost coin. Now, interesting about these two parables is that the sheep and the coin, okay, are objects which cannot find their own when they are lost. Okay? Sheep, none of us have raised sheep here, I gather, but sheep, they tell me, once they are lost to the herd, okay, cannot move, cannot, like dogs or cats or other animals, pursue their own way to find their home. This is why the parable says that when the shepherd goes and pursues and finds the sheep, he must carry the sheep on his shoulder because the sheep goes into a shock and cannot move once it is lost. But the second parable, the coin, is even more unable to return, isn't it? It's a coin. It's an inanimate object. And so therefore, a woman who has lost it must pursue it and find it. Now, those two stories together tells us something really important, something amazingly important to the Pharisees. And the truth that these parables were trying to communicate to them was this, that God, like a shepherd who lost his sheep and a woman who has lost the coin, is in the pursuit of finding that which is lost. In other words, God is on a mission, and God seeks those things which are lost to him. Okay? Now, Jesus is telling, I think, this story because he wants to link what God's mission is and why he is eating with the sinners. In Jesus, he was seeking the lost just like God was seeking the lost. Just like the shepherd seeking the lost sheep and the woman who lost the coin, they would seek the lost. So is God seeking it, and so is he, Jesus, seeking the lost as well. Now, all along, though, in these first two parables, are you still with me? Yeah? Okay. In these two parables, though, there is something to which he's going to point to the third parable, okay? And that is the response. When God is seeking the lost, how do you respond? In both of the parables, there is a comment that Jesus tells in the parables, and that is that in both stories, he says this, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." And then in the second parable, he says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." Okay? Because Jesus senses that God's mission to find the lost in Jesus was not a rejoicing event for the people. This was their muttering, right? Okay? God is in the pursuit of the lost, the sinners. He dines with them. He finds them. He restores them back into the relationship with God. But the people, the religious people, the Pharisees, were seeing that mission and not rejoicing at all. And this is where the third parable, the parable of the lost son, or the prodigal son, comes in. Although this parable often focuses on the returning younger brother, the real point, I think, of the story and the real focus of the story is on the elder brother, who broods in the background in resentment to this younger brother who gets to return. But the real resentment by the older brother is towards the father for his generosity and forgiveness. Brent, if you go to the next slide. Okay. This is a blown up section of that Rembrandt painting. Okay. In the foreground is the younger brother coming in and his father extending his arms, open hands, and embracing the younger son's return. But fading in the background is this picture, one who is sitting there with his arms folded, brooding, muttering, resentful to the brother for returning without doing anything, and resentful for the father who forgives him unconditionally to the return. This parable points to exactly what was happening in life with the religious leaders, with Jesus, and with sinners. Jesus was seeking the lost and embracing all of them into his kingdom, offering forgiveness and healing and restoration into a relationship with God. And all the religious people of his time who were law-bound, who are already in the Father's kingdom, who already had relationship with the Father and with God, were sitting there like this older brother in the background, brooding and muttering in resentment and even hatred for what is being done. Because the Son returns without any conditions placed on him. But the lavishness with which this father embraces the lost is such a travesty. In the parable itself, I don't know if you caught this or not, when the son returns, it says that the father actually, instead of sitting back and waiting for the son to return, what does the father do? He runs, literally runs towards his son who had shamed him. Now, those of you who know anything about Middle Eastern and Oriental or Asian cultures knows that this is an indignant act by the father. This is not to be done. But this expresses the level of love and level of joy that the father has in finding the lost. But the older brother cannot rejoice. Cannot rejoice because this is a travesty. The father is going beyond, throwing a lavish party, killing a calf for a returning son who clearly sinned against his father. I think the parable would have made the Pharisees very uncomfortable. No one likes to be revealed. You see, the Pharisees were responding just like the older brother. When they saw Jesus finding the lost and restoring them to the Father, they refused to take joy, and brother refused to join in on the celebration. Now, this is where I struggled with the sermon. What is the point of the sermon then? Are we to draw ourselves in line with the elder brother, since we are already in God's household and God in relationship with God? Are we to find our analogy in the elder brother? And then as I struggled more with the sermon, I realized that the ending of the story had the good news, amazing news. The point of the story in the parable isn't a condemnation of the older brother at all, in fact. The point of the parable is that God loves both the lost brothers. You see, there are two brothers who are lost. One brother who squandered everything, and one brother who remained and obeyed and followed and served the Father was lost to the Father as well, because he did not understand the heart of his Father. And the older brother who lived all along under the Father's roof and yet was lost because he never understood the generous and the loving heart of the Father. And instead, he tried his own hard work to earn it. And the good news of this parable is this. Okay? The Father loves both the brothers who are lost. The one who squanders away and the one who is lawful and yet resentful and who is separated from God's heart and generosity. This parable shows us that God is love, that you cannot earn your way to receive his love, and that you don't have to earn it. God loves the younger brother when he went away, and he loved him when he returned. God loved the older brother when he was obedient, and he still loved him when he wasn't. Look at this last phrase, last sentence of this parable. It says, "My son," and this is spoken to the older brother, "the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." You see, the parable is pointing to God here all along. God is love, and his love is unconditional. You don't have to earn it. Long before you lifted a finger, he knew you, he chose you, and he loves you. And long past the date when you can lift a finger, when you're totally unable to respond, even then, he will love you and he will accept you and embrace you. That is the good news of this parable. God's love is unconditional. God loves the younger prodigal and the older prodigal. He loves them both. God is love. Thanks be to God.